Breaking news tonight, one of America's most infamous cold case mysteries solved. A little boy vanished without a trace, a disappearance that gripped the nation. Tonight, a shocking confession finally answers for his anguished family. Getting nastier, tightening polls and personal attacks as Donald Trump says Hillary Clinton doesn't have a, quote, presidential look. $20 million settlement in a sexual harassment case that rocked Fox News and triggered the downfall of its leader, Roger Ailes. Fighting the flu, a big change from doctors. Parents, listen up. It affects the way millions of kids get vaccinated. And national outrage as a treasure that stood for a million years is destroyed in seconds. A hunt for the vandals caught on camera. Nightly news begins right now.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, reporting tonight from Washington.
Good evening. A stunning cold case confession today in Minnesota appears to bring a 27-year-old murder mystery that gripped the nation to an end as a family that has lived with decades of anguish and uncertainty finally learned what happened to their little boy. Jacob Wetterling was just 11 years old when he was kidnapped and killed. Today, with Jacob's parents among those inside a packed courtroom, the man who said he did it described in graphic detail what happened that October day in 1989. What you're about to hear is disturbing. NBC's Stephanie Gosk has the story.
I want to say, Jacob, I'm so sorry. It's incredibly painful to know his last days.
Today, after 27 years, Patty Wetterling finally learned what happened to her son, Jacob, who disappeared when he was only 11 years old, leaving their small town in Minnesota shell-shocked and the rest of the country horrified.
This was one more day of agony for St. Joseph, Minnesota, population 3,200.
In a federal courthouse, Danny Heinrich described in detail how he says he kidnapped and sexually abused the young boy. According to reporters in court, Heinrich told the judge, "I was driving on a dead-end road. I noticed three children on their bicycles with a flashlight." At the time, Jacob's brother described how the two of them and a friend were held at gunpoint.
"He told us to put our bikes in the ditch and lay down."
Heinrich says he drove away with Jacob, handcuffing him. The boy asked, "What did I do wrong?" Heinrich told the court he sexually abused Jacob and then shot him at the edge of the woods. Investigators did question Heinrich at the time, but there was never an arrest. It would take nearly three decades for a break in the case. Heinrich's DNA discovered on a sweatshirt of another victim abducted around the same time. Police searched his home, leading to an arrest on child pornography charges.
After almost 27 years, Danny Heinrich was willing to talk, and we had to grab the moment.
The 53-year-old told police where he buried Jacob's body in exchange for not being charged with the murder. Heinrich still faces 20 years in prison after pleading guilty on the pornography charges. The Wetterlings agreed to the deal to bring an end to their tireless search.
For us, Jacob was alive until we found him.
Now they have excruciating answers to the tragedy that has consumed their lives, along with fresh grief, even after all this time. Stephanie Gosk, NBC News, New York.
In Chicago tonight, a tragic milestone as that city has reached 500 homicides so far this year. That's more than all of last year. In fact, August was Chicago's deadliest month in two decades, far outpacing larger cities. It's an alarming rise, even as violent crime has fallen sharply in other parts of the country over the last two decades. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has our report.
Even for a city sadly accustomed to violence, the bloodshed was staggering. Shooting after shooting, mostly on Chicago's south and west sides. 31 people shot since Monday morning, 13 killed over the Labor Day weekend.
I see the lady laying on the ground. You know, her family, of course, like any family, they're, you know, they're panicking, they're screaming, they're crying.
The country's third biggest city hitting a grim milestone. The 500 homicides so far this year are more than New York and Los Angeles combined. Crime rates nationwide are far below what they were 25 years ago. So why is Chicago different? Poor and more segregated neighborhoods prone to gang violence. City officials also blaming repeat offenders and lax sentencing. The minimum penalty for having an illegal gun in Chicago is 1 year in jail. In New York, it's 3.5 years.
If we had the gun laws in Chicago that LA and New York have, we would see our violent crime cut in half.
Well-known activist Father Michael Flager says Chicago is a war zone that needs federal help.
The city says it's broke. The state says it's broke. So call for a state of emergency and get some federal resources to come in.
Caught in the crossfire, children. 10-year-old Tavon Tanner was hit while sitting on a porch with his twin sister. His aunt says the bullet is now lodged in his back.
When it hits home, that's when you really got to wake up. Like, everyone has to wake up. Like, these are babies that's not being able to grow up anymore.
She is one of many family members keeping vigil at this hospital. Mayor Rahm Emanuel's office declined to comment today, and it'll be another 2 weeks before he says that he will detail his plans to combat violence, including hiring more police officers. Lester.
All right, Gabe Gutierrez in Chicago, thank you. To presidential politics now as the 2016 race enters the post-Labor Day home stretch. And in a battle that has seen no shortage of insults, today it got even nastier as Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton traded attacks. We've got it all covered, including some brand new poll numbers. Let's begin with NBC's Kristen Welker. Kristen, good evening.
Lester, tonight some Democrats tell me privately they're concerned about polls which show a tightening race. The Clinton campaign downplaying those jitters. They say the strategy now, making Secretary Clinton more accessible and getting back on offense. Hillary Clinton entering the final fall sprint with the advantage. The new NBC News battleground map shows today Clinton would likely have the 270 electoral votes needed to win the White House. And our new SurveyMonkey online poll shows Clinton's lead is steady at 6 points. But there are also troubling signs for her. A poll of likely voters out today has Donald Trump up by 2 points. Now she's sharpening her attacks.
He clearly has something to hide. We don't know exactly what it is, but we're getting better guesses about what it probably is.
Clinton taking Trump to task for saying this about releasing his taxes.
I think people don't care.
I just think he's dead wrong.
But Democrats are wondering why, after a summer in which Trump saw two campaign shakeups and was largely under fire, she isn't running away with the race.
Worried Democrats would like to see Hillary Clinton out there every day, not just tearing down Donald Trump, but selling herself to the American people.
President Obama, Michelle Obama, Chelsea Clinton, Elizabeth Warren, and Vice President Biden gearing up to help Clinton make her case on the trail. Biden offering this advice.
Just open up. Let him see your heart a little more.
This as Republicans are turning up the heat. The House Oversight Committee asking the U.S. Attorney to review evidence about whether Secretary Clinton and her employees obstructed justice by deleting some emails just days after they were asked to save them. Asked if she's concerned about damaging evidence or the accusations.
No, of course not. I have no concern on either count. None. And neither did the FBI.
Clinton still battling an ongoing challenge, making voters trust her. Kristen Welker, NBC News, Brooklyn.
I'm Katie Turr. Today, Donald Trump is taking a new shot at Hillary Clinton, this time about her appearance.
Well, I just don't think she has a presidential look, and you need a presidential look. You have to get the job done.
But it's questions about the appearance and timing of an illegal political donation that are now surrounding Trump. In 2013, the Donald J. Trump Foundation donated $25,000 to a super PAC tied to Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi, as her office was considering a fraud investigation into Trump University. That investigation was never opened. Today, Bondi accused Hillary Clinton of trying to gin up outrage.
Of course I asked Donald Trump for a contribution. That's not what this is about. She was saying he was under investigation by my office at the time, and I knew about it. None of which is true.
Despite bragging during the primary, he knew how to work the system.
I got to give to them, because when I want something, I get it. When I call, they kiss my ass.
Both Bondi and Trump say there was no impropriety, and the campaign says Trump paid the IRS fine. Going into the final stretch, Trump is hoping a focus on national security will bury the distractions. Today, unveiling the endorsement of 88 retired generals and admirals.
Putin looks at Hillary Clinton and he smiles. Boy, would he like to see her. That would be easy. Because just look at her decisions. Look how bad her decisions have been.
More challenging news for Donald Trump. The Dallas Morning News is withholding its endorsement of him. It's the first time the paper has refused to endorse a GOP candidate since 1964. The editorial board writing, he shouldn't reflect the GOP future and does not deserve your vote. Lester.
Katie Turr, thanks. And a program note, both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump will appear live from aboard the Intrepid in New York City, answering questions at our NBC News Commander-in-Chief Forum. That's 8 Eastern, 7 Central, tomorrow night on NBC and MSNBC. Turning overseas now, where President Obama today announced $90 million to clear unexploded bombs dropped during America's secret war in Laos decades ago. It's the latest stop in the president's trip through Asia. But as NBC's Andrea Mitchell tells us, elsewhere on this tour, he has been met with insulting and in some cases downright rude behavior.
President Obama on an historic trip to Laos tonight after an Asia trip that's been a series of stumbles and snubs. At a high-stakes summit, a stare-down between the president and his old nemesis, Vladimir Putin, still blocking a ceasefire in Syria, shrugging off U.S. outrage over Russia's suspected attempt to influence America's election by hacking. He said, "I do not know anything about it. There are so many hackers these days." China piling on, too. When Air Force One landed, no stairs for the formal arrival. Instead, they had to lower the stairs in the belly of the plane, and the White House press corps blocked from covering. A U.S. official arguing, "This is our plane." The Chinese response? Donald Trump seizing on that.
They wouldn't even give him stairs to come out of Air Force One.
Most stunning, the president of a major ally, the Philippines, insulting Mr. Obama, calling him a son of a whore. Mr. Obama then canceling their meeting.
I have never heard a serious head of state or government describe an ally head of state or government in that regard.
Is America less respected, or as some say, did the president lose credibility 3 years ago, threatening to attack Syria and backing down?
When Obama didn't deliver on his promise to use military forces, his pledge, that something went out of his presidency and he's never been able to put it back.
A triumphant last visit to Asia that so far is anything but. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, Washington.
There is a new extreme weather threat charging toward the U.S. just as another fades away. Hurricane Newton made landfall near Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, early this morning as a Category 1 storm. It's expected to approach the southwestern U.S. border by midday tomorrow as a tropical storm. Flash flood watches already in effect in Arizona and New Mexico. Meanwhile, the remnants of Hermine are expected to die out along the East Coast by Thursday. It was back to school for millions of kids across the country today, and as flu season approaches, there are new recommendations from the American Academy of Pediatrics tonight that children should not be vaccinated with nasal spray. Instead, they should be given shots. It's a big change from previous years. NBC's Dr. John Torres joins us now to explain. John, why this change?
Well, Lester, health officials would say not to vaccinate using the nasal spray, the flu mist, because studies have shown over the past couple years it's only been 3% effective. Compare that to the regular traditional shot, 63% effective. Now, in the past, this nasal spray did work. We don't know why it lost its effectiveness. Experts are trying to figure that out. But the concerning thing among us doctors is that children might not be getting their flu vaccines at all because that nasal spray is not available. Problem is, they are one of the more vulnerable groups to the effects of the flu. Those effects could go all the way up to include death. The vaccine is available right now, and it's recommended for everyone above the age of 6 months. October is traditionally when we start the flu season. But again, Lester, like most years, we don't know when it's going to start or how bad it's going to be, so it's best to get protected early on.
Sign me up. Dr. Torres, thanks very much. Still ahead tonight, $20 million, the massive amount being paid to settle a former anchor's sexual harassment lawsuit against ousted Fox News CEO Roger Ailes. Why he won't have to pay a dime of it. Also, police open fire on a bank robbery suspect who led them on a wild chase as many watch it play out live. We're back now with the major settlement of the sexual harassment case that rocked Fox News and cost Roger Ailes, one of the most powerful men in media and Republican politics, his job. Former anchor Gretchen Carlson went public accusing Ailes of inappropriate behavior, which he denies. But tonight, she's victorious. NBC's Cynthia McFadden has details.
This was
Gretchen Carlson, the former Fox anchor who sued Fox CEO Roger Ailes for sexual harassment, today got a $20 million settlement and an apology. "We sincerely regret and apologize for the fact that Gretchen was not treated with the respect and dignity that she and all our colleagues deserve." Carlson released her own statement, saying she was ready to move on to the next chapter.
How big a deal is the settlement today?
Today's settlement is a big deal. They're going to pay her $20 million, and they forced out the longtime head of Fox News, Roger Ailes. So for her, this is a win-win. She got her money, she got the apology, and the man who allegedly harassed her is out. So this is, you know, for her, it's a great day.
It's a stunning turnaround for the company that initially backed Ailes, but changed course after an investigation disclosed other women who said they, too, were harassed.
One of the big issues in the settlement discussions was that Gretchen Carlson and some of the other women had taped conversations with Roger Ailes, and so there were some inappropriate conversations.
Though the $20 million settlement is one of the largest of its kind, Ailes himself paid none of it. 21st Century Fox picked up the entire tab and paid Ailes twice that amount to walk away this summer. Meanwhile, we learned today longtime Fox host Greta Van Susteren abruptly resigned, saying, "Fox has not felt like home to me for a few years." While a source close to the situation said it came down to a financial disagreement, some see it as an indication of things to come.
This is the slow-motion dismantling of the machine and the roster that Roger Ailes had built over 20 years. I think this is not the last. We're going to see over the next months more and more people leaving because Roger Ailes was the glue that held this group together.
And word today from sources that two other sexual harassment cases besides Carlson's have also been settled by the company. Cynthia McFadden, NBC News, New York.
We are back in a moment with the viral mystery behind this beautiful moment captured on camera. In Arizona today, a wild high-speed police pursuit caught on camera. Robbery suspects taking off, authorities giving chase, and viewers watching it all play out, including a dramatic ending with police opening fire on the suspect's SUV. NBC's Miguel Almaguer has details from Arizona.
All right, so we're coming up here on...
The police pursuit lasted 45 minutes.
Call 24-998-998.
After a bank robbery in Avondale, Arizona.
Oh, they just did a maneuver on him here. There we go. The police did the pit maneuver.
The suspect's vehicle, hemmed in by officers, giving chase, jumping from unmarked cars.
Oh, shots are fired. Shots are fired.
And unloading round after round into the SUV.
Breaking news this noon of a bank robbery in...
It unfolded on live television and on the web, shocking viewers across the Phoenix area.
He already shot at police officers. He's endangered the public for half an hour now as he's driven throughout the city recklessly.
Police say the driver was pronounced dead on scene. Two other suspects detained close to where the pursuit began. No officers or civilians hit or injured.
All shots are fired.
Tonight, it's still unclear how many shots were fired. The windshield hit several times.
We know that he intended to escape at all costs and put anybody in danger.
A high-speed pursuit ending in a hail of gunfire, all captured on live TV. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Arizona.
Turning to something a bit more uplifting now, an epic wedding photo has turned a newlywed couple into a viral sensation, but nobody seems to know who they are standing on the cliffs of Yosemite National Park at sunset. A tourist captured the breathtaking shot last week, but they were gone before he got their name, so he has turned to social media to help him solve the mystery. When we come back, a much more sinister mystery in the great outdoors. Who were the vandals caught on camera destroying a natural landmark? Finally, tonight, I want to tell you about a mystery along the picturesque Oregon coastline. Authorities are hunting for the suspects caught on camera destroying a famed natural landmark. It stood for millennia, as Argati Schwartz explains, but it was toppled in mere seconds.
They rocked it back and forth, then a crash.
Got him!
This six-second video clip, proof that the popular rock formation called the Duckbill, pictured in hundreds of posts, did not topple naturally as park rangers first suspected.
They knocked something so beautiful down that will, like, you know, never be there ever again. It's just heartbreaking.
David Callis took the video and tried talking to the group that pushed the rock over.
They were all just being, you know, rowdy. They're just laughing about it, you know, like it was just a complete joke to them.
But just getting to the 7-foot-tall formation was a hazard. Clear signs have been posted for years telling everyone to keep out, including people now posting tributes to the sandstone feature overlooking the waves.
when you see a fence and you see a warning sign, respect it, stay on the right side.
Online, the search is just beginning for the people in the video, and it's not the first time the internet has taken vandals of Mother Nature to task. Reddit users helped catch a woman whose acrylic drawings with the name Creepy Things ended with her banishment from national parks. And this case of a very similar rock toppling in Utah that led to a year probation and thousands in fines for these former leaders of the Boy Scouts. Now, on the picturesque coast of the Pacific Northwest, rock that once served as a pedestal for people, the latest to be brought down by man. Gotti Schwartz, NBC News.
A real shame. That's going to do it for us on this Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.